Can you stretch your memory back to your very first job, perhaps a part-time job as a teenager? It's a moment with all kinds of lessons about how the world of work operates. Well, imagine if that first boss turned out to be a sexual predator. Senior correspondent Maria Hinojosa has our report.
I'm here in San Diego to bring you a disturbing story on the sexual harassment of teenagers on the job. As part of a joint investigation by Now on PBS and the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism at Brandeis University, you'll hear from young women here in San Diego and across the country who are telling their disturbing stories for the first time on national television. Carla Murthy produced our report, the first in a new series about women and men in the 21st century, a series we call Life Now.
Allie Tomlin never had a real job before. But in 2006, when she was 17 years old, she wanted to find out what the world of work was really about. She was talking to a friend at school who happened to work at Jamba Juice, a national chain of stores that sells juices and smoothies.
I was like, yeah, you know, I really think I'm going to start getting a job. I kind of want my own money now. He mentioned I'm a team lead at Jamba Juice, and right now I know we're hiring. I was like, oh, awesome.
She got the job at this Jamba Juice in the town of Puyallup, just outside of Seattle, Washington.
It was a very busy, very kind of hectic environment. So I was like, oh, fast-paced, my kind of thing.
You thought working at Jamba Juice was going to be fun.
Yeah, a fun first job.
At first, Allie says, she loved her job. But then her manager began making her feel uncomfortable.
It was a series of steps. I felt the first step was when he started making little joking comments and putting his arm around you and things like that. And then he would make comments about your boob size. And he was like, oh, Allie, yeah, grab my arm. Come on, I'm going to take you in the back and bend you over. I'll show you what's going on. Then I was like, wow, no, that's not okay.
We're out early tomorrow.
She says it only got worse. Her manager talked about masturbation and showed Allie a photo of a woman in a red thong. Allie says she couldn't believe a 32-year-old adult man, almost twice her age, was doing this at work. But she says no one else at the store seemed to think the manager was doing anything inappropriate.
It was always like we were reassured. That's just his behavior. That's just how he acts. It was just a joke. I was like, I don't think that's the way things are supposed to go, but I'm not, I didn't know enough about the way it works. So I was like, okay.
So did you come home and tell your mom?
No, because I knew that if I came home and I told my mom and my dad right away that they would make me quit. And it was like my first job and I really liked it. And I was kind of like, in my head, I was like, if I stay away from him and keep my distance, then everything's okay.
But one day, she couldn't get away. Allie says she was in the back of the store counting money for the cash register.
And he walked up behind me, just stood really close, and then kind of leaned over my shoulder. And he was like, hey, Allie, want to see something funny? You wear teen t-shirts there. It's like a t-shirt with an apron. Apparently, there was a little hole about the size of a dime in the back of the t-shirt. And he stuck his hands in it and completely ripped the shirt off me.
Allie says it looked like she had nothing on but her apron, and she stood there in shock. Her manager then took out his cell phone and took a picture of her.
Everybody was laughing, and I just kind of stood there, and I got really quiet and really withdrawn, and I was fighting back tears, and I was like, I just want to go home.
Allie Tomlin's story is not an isolated case. Every year, millions of teens get jobs in stores, restaurants, movie theaters. They're often part-time workers, the lowest paid with the least amount of work experience. And all those factors make teens more vulnerable than adults to sexual harassment on the job.
They're completely disposable. They can be replaced tomorrow, especially in a climate like ours right now. There's 10 kids to take the job if they leave. They have no power whatsoever.
E.J. Graff is a senior researcher with the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism at Brandeis University.
One after another after another.
After hearing about some of these cases, she began her own investigation to find out just how prevalent teen harassment is.
So when people say teen sexually harassed on the job, are we talking about dozens?
maybe hundreds?
Hundreds of thousands of teens who are being assaulted, just sexually assaulted on the job.
Based on studies that have been done on the workplace, she estimates that about 200,000 teenagers are being sexually assaulted or harassed at work every year. And Allie Tomlin is just one of them. After getting her shirt torn off by her manager, Allie decided she'd had enough. She quit her job and finally told her parents what was going on.
When she told you about the harassment, the touching by her supervisor, what were you thinking at that point?
I was pissed, to be blunt. You know, a mom wants to protect their kids from things like that. So, really upset.
A complaint was filed with Jamba Juice. But to Allie and her parents' surprise, the manager wasn't fired.
I felt like I had done something wrong. I was let go, and they see nothing wrong with his actions.
EJ Graff says that not enough is being done to protect our teenage children on the job. Not only are some employers not taking this issue seriously, but she says the law also doesn't go far enough to keep kids safe at work. Graff says one reason teen sexual harassment continues to go on is that these cases are seldom reported, and so the issue remains buried.
Have you heard about it? Nobody. Nobody is looking at sexual harassment of teens in the workforce.
She says teenagers in general are reluctant to come forward and complain about their boss's behavior. They might be embarrassed, afraid, and they may not understand what's acceptable in a work environment.
Why is it that teenagers don't know what's right or wrong about sexual inappropriateness in the workplace?
This is their first moment in the workforce. They don't know how people behave out in the adult world. And if the other people around them are not reacting to the fact that Chuck keeps pawing them, then they think, well, maybe I just have to get used to it, or maybe I need to wear a baggier sweatshirt, or they think something's wrong with them. They don't have the experience that we have.
You know it's not right. Like, there's this, like, gut feeling that there's something wrong there. But, I mean, we had no idea how we could stop it.
Or really what our rights were in our very first job.
Just very intimidating.
Blair Polistrini and her twin sister Jessica, Maureen Hora and her best friend Lindsay Marsitz are in their 20s now. But when they were 16 and 17 years old, they each got their first real job at this Ultrastar movie theater near San Diego, California. But it wasn't what they expected.
This particular theater was a little shop of horrors.
John Dalton is the attorney representing the young women.
They were there to take tickets, to sell popcorn, and to usher people to their seats. That's what they were there for. They weren't there to be sexual playthings.
The girls had no idea when they first began working at the theater that they would eventually wind up in court. They would end up testifying to a pattern of sexual harassment that started slowly. They say their managers, 32-year-old Dan Wooten and 22-year-old Adam Gustafson, constantly use sexual and vulgar language, words we can't even say on public television.
You know, Dan would say the F word a lot and use the C word and refer to his girlfriend as a dumb B.
But it wasn't just the constant barrage of foul language. They say assistant manager Adam Gustafson also got physical.
Adam said something to me, and I turned to look at him, and he took a money bag that was empty and hit me in the face repeatedly with it. I mean, I screamed stop, and I remember just bursting into tears at that moment, and Dan was sitting maybe like a few feet away from me and didn't do anything.
And you're on the job, and this is an assistant manager, and he's hurting you?
Well, Adam was in police training at the time, and so he was practicing his arm restraints, but he would do it in like these vulgar sexual manners.
The girls say that Adam Gustafson would pin their arms from behind their backs until they screamed, forcing them to bend over while he pressed up against them. But that's not all. The girls say the managers also threatened them with knives. One night, Maureen Horace says she was working alone in the box office. Adam Gustafson came up from behind and put a knife to her throat. He said he could kill her. She was terrified.
It was one of the scariest moments of my life, definitely. I didn't know what to do, though. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't see anyone around. I didn't know.
She says he finally stopped and walked away like nothing had happened. According to the lawsuit, Adam Gustafson threatened other employees with knives on at least three occasions, and the manager, Dan Wooten, often watched and did nothing.
Why didn't you guys just quit?
Because all my friends work there. So it was kind of like my little support group, I guess, in a way. And, you know, I didn't know, like, if that would happen again at another workplace.
There were a few male managers who made it really obvious that you were an expendable employee. And so it just seemed like when they would start talking about these things, it was just something you kind of had to put up with and, like, smile and nod, deal with it. But when they look you in the eye and, like, say they had a preference for smaller women, it's weird.
I mean, this happened a long time ago. And it's still... is incredibly upsetting for you.
It's upsetting for all of us. To rehash these memories about what we've gone through is very difficult, especially seeing it happen to my best friends.
You kind of have to put yourself back in that mindset of being a 16-year-old, you know, kid again. To this day, I still feel like, I still have regrets that maybe I didn't say something or do something, you know, right, and I could have maybe stopped it, but, I mean, I don't know. It still hurts.
Why is it that these teens remain so impacted by what happened to them?
That's post-traumatic stress. Every day they're being treated in a really dehumanizing way. They're really still children. You forget how young they are because their bodies are adults. They haven't had somebody reduce them to breasts and bottoms before. That really is like working in a war zone.
The girls worked at the theater for months. During that time, they did not complain to anyone, not even their parents, about what their managers were doing to them.
Did you understand that what was happening in your workplace, what was going on, was actually illegal?
Absolutely not. I had, as employees, I didn't realize we had the rights. And to say that it was illegal, I don't think that ever crossed my mind.
Eventually, the girls did come forward. But it wasn't until Lindsay Marsitz got seriously injured that they went to see attorney John Dalton and filed a lawsuit.
Mr. Gustafson approached Lindsay Marsitz, and he placed her in a restraint hold. He had done it, you know, a number of times before, and this time he took it a little too far.
I fell off the stool, instant pain. I had to go to the hospital, and I eventually had to have my shoulder surgically fixed.
He twisted it too hard and pulled it up too far, and it dislocated her shoulder.
And they didn't fire Mr. Gustafson?
No.
We asked Damon Rubio, a representative for UltraStar, why Gustafson was not fired.
The investigation that came up found that, you know, her and him both shared the same story, which is, look, we did this. It wasn't smart. We shouldn't have done it, but it happened. It was, some... friendly horseplay, but when you have younger adults working, those are the kind of things that, you know, come up.
So just to be clear, you believe that when there's an assistant manager who is in his mid-20s and he is physically taking a young teenager and bending her arm around her back to the point where she dislocates her shoulder, that that's just horseplay in the office?
I believe in this situation it was found that the two, you know, it was a little bit more closer to a consensual horseplay, and there was never any red flags raised by the plaintiff that it wasn't consensual.
Rubio does not believe any sexual harassment took place at the theater. Furthermore, he says the company has policies in place so employees can report any harassment going on. But Rubio says the girls did not make any complaints.
They never used any of the channels to report anything to their manager or to an assistant manager or to a manager at another location or to the corporate office, to myself, to the human resource department. They had plenty of avenues to do this. I think it would have been much better served had they come forward and, you know, used what I think a lot of people would consider common sense so that we could have properly investigated this and taken care of this, because it's not a situation that our company would have taken lightly.
Rubio says he first heard about sexual harassment problems when he found out his company was getting sued. At that time, he says, he conducted an internal investigation and found nothing wrong.
Do you think these four teenagers have a legitimate case against your company?
The fact is this, that no. As far as I can tell, the girls don't have a real strong case here to take against our company.
A jury disagreed. In April 2005, after 8 weeks in court and hours of testimony from all four plaintiffs and company officials, the jury came to a unanimous decision and ruled in favor of the four girls. UltraStar was ordered to pay a total of $850,000 for emotional distress to the group and $1.5 million each in punitive damages. The size of the award has been appealed.
I mean, they are fighting tooth and nail to the very end, going to the mat. It's going to be a fight until the very end.
But unlike the UltraStar case, the vast majority of sexual harassment cases never make it in front of a judge and jury. Some legal experts say that's because the laws don't go far enough to protect teens on the job. We went to see Jennifer Drobak, a professor at the Indiana University School of Law, to understand how the law works when it comes to teens.
They may be strict enough for adults, but if we're talking about our teenagers, our sons and daughters, I disagree that our laws are protecting them sufficiently.
One problem she sees is in the sexual harassment policies and procedures many employers have in place. Drobak says if employers are hiring teenagers, these policies must be written with teenagers in mind.
My law students don't know these rules. And so how is a teenager supposed to know these rules upon entering the workforce? So we need to emphasize for teenagers that even if you're not sure, if you think there's a problem, you need to come forward.
Protect them in situations.
Once a teenager does come forward, Drobak says, the law isn't always fair to them. In all sexual harassment cases, you must prove that the behavior was, quote, unwelcome and not consensual. Drobak worries that some teens might consent out of fear or inexperience.
They don't want to seem uncool. They don't want to acknowledge that they're inexperienced. They may not know that this is not a normal, acceptable behavior in the workplace. And the problem then becomes is that they can't prove in a sexual harassment case that the behavior was unwelcome.
What is a plaintiff going to have to prove in order to...
But Drobak says there are other types of cases where it doesn't matter if the behavior was unwelcome. In cases of statutory rape, teens under a certain age are considered too young to consent.
She eventually agrees to have sex with him.
She points to a case where a 16-year-old girl had sex with her boss. Even though she had consented to sex, her boss was convicted for statutory rape and sent to prison. However, her sexual harassment case was thrown out.
So you get completely opposing results for exactly the same behavior. It's absolutely insane. It doesn't make any sense. And you don't have to be a lawyer to figure that out.
Drobak says one of the reasons that these discrepancies exist in the law is that most cases are settled quickly and quietly out of court. And so parents, employers, and lawmakers never hear about them.
And so you get a complete silencing on what's going on. And so that means that the law doesn't evolve as quickly because these cases never see the light of day.
But there's one federal agency that's made fighting teen sexual harassment a priority.
In 2004,
the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC, began a program in the high schools called Youth at Work to teach kids about their rights on the job.
You have the right to complain about job discrimination without punishment.
The EEOC also tries to hold employers accountable by taking on a handful of high-profile cases every year. And that's how we found out about a sexual harassment case at this McDonald's in Durango, Colorado. Lynn Schaller is a private lawyer who worked with the EEOC on the case.
It's their brand name that's out there, Ronald McDonald and Family Fun.
The manager at the McDonald's was accused of harassing four teenage girls, groping them, and even biting them on their breasts. The local McDonald's franchise fought the charges for 4 years. Last spring, they finally settled, agreeing to pay out $500,000. But more importantly, the EEOC also got the local franchise to change the way they do business.
In addition to compensating the victims for the harm they suffered, we really wanted to have some teeth in the settlement to make sure that this didn't happen again.
Now, the local franchise is required to train all its employees with strict oversight by the EEOC for 3 years. Plus, the franchise must report to the EEOC every 6 months about how any sexual harassment complaints have been handled.
I mean, this case and others like it really should be a wake-up call for employers, especially those that employ teens, that they've got to take action to protect their staff and to protect themselves from this kind of liability.
But we spoke to lawyers who represent employers who argue that these big-dollar settlements can trigger a flood of sexual harassment claims based on just about anything, like telling a crude joke in the office. Jennifer Drobak says companies shouldn't worry.
The law may be a blunt instrument, but it's not stupid. And people are not going to be able to enter the courthouse door over a rudeness or an insult. This is not a joyride. It's very difficult and expensive to bring these cases.
Even so, Allie Tomlin and her mom made that difficult choice to file a lawsuit against Jamba Juice. They contacted a private lawyer and the EEOC for help.
You had to make a decision to allow your daughter to get into a lawsuit against a big company.
Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do because it's the right thing to do.
Like Ultrastar Cinemas and the McDonald's franchise, at first, Jamba Juice maintained it did nothing wrong.
About their sexual harassment, they have said repeatedly, we have zero tolerance, we have zero tolerance. Well, obviously not.
Eventually, Jamba Juice settled and agreed to pay $85,000. Jamba Juice did not admit any guilt, though, and made no changes to their sexual harassment policy. But Allie's manager was finally fired.
I think about where he is now. He could be out of state working in another smoothie shop with the young girls doing the same thing.
In the end, Jamba Juice never had to admit that there was any wrongdoing on their part. What does that say to you?
It says we have a really, really messed up system that needs a lot of work. Maybe I cost them like a freaking $100,000 in attorney fees. Big deal. They're a multi-million dollar corporation. They're huge. They're all over the United States. But I feel betrayed. I feel like, yes, we have a system and the ideas are there, but they're not working. So something needs to change.